Okay, there you go.
Good morning. Today is September 16, 2021. This is a matter of application Z0331-21ZAP and Z0330-21M. It is a combined hearing for several matters related to a proposed zone change and plat and subdivision. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. Before the hearing begins, continues, the county will provide an explanation for participation in this hearing via the Zoom platform. I will state that the county is making a recording of the hearing and that recording is available through the county. Please proceed with the explanation.
Okay. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPod, you have the raise hand button on the Zoom bar, which is top or bottom depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all applicants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is your time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of the hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony, you can email written testimony to bblessing@clackamas.us or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's meeting. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by email to the staff contact of this application or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, my name is Carl Cox. I'll state for the record that I've considered issues here of conflict of interest and have determined that I don't have any bias or conflict of interest whatsoever in this matter. I'll state for the record also that this, and advise the participants, this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. Are there any questions about this before we proceed? Okay. and Mr. Blessing did reference that you do have an opportunity, if you request, to ask that the record be left open for an additional period to submit documents before the record is closed. All right, the order of proceedings this morning will be that I will ask the county to make a presentation concerning the application and the county staff report and the county's recommendation, followed by an opportunity for the applicant to likewise provide information that the applicant wants me to consider in making a decision. I'm going to ask that if there are any issues with the county's proposed conditions of approval that have not been sorted out, that we deal with that during this course, okay? Any questions about this? Just raise your hand. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. I'm Ben Blessing, Clackamas County Planning and Zoning. I reviewed the file Z0330-21-M and Z0330-21-ZAP. That's for a partition and a zone change. And, of course, linked with this request is Z0328-21-D. That's for a design review, duplex and triplexes, which my colleague Anthony Reeder will be available to answer any questions on that staff report and probably provide a brief summary on that as well. So for the partition and the zone change, the zone change request was from R10, that's urban low density residential, to MR1, that's medium density residential. And then of course just a 3-lot partition. Quick look at where we're at. Vineyard is basically the Oak Grove area, just fairly close to Highway 99E, McLaughlin, close to jobs, close to transit, and so forth. Closer look at the property here. You have, if I go to the next slide, you can see that there's a good, you're surrounded by apartments. You've got a manufactured home community to the north, and then, of course, single-family residential homes surrounding this. The subject lot. So this is just a quick look at the site plan. You'll note, and I'll mention it on the next slide too, but you'll note that the lots proposed, one 12,237, the other nearly parcel two, about 6,000, and parcel two, a little over 8,000. There's no minimum lot sizes in the MR1 zoning district. The applicant needs to basically comply with all the dimensional standards for design review and in section 315 of the ZDO, but those lot sizes are sufficient for a partition in the MR1 zoning. And this, of course, assumes that the zone change is approved with the partition. That would enable this sort of a configuration, which would basically comply with the ZDO. So some zone change highlights. The next slide will show the designation, but this parcel is in an area that is already designated medium rent density residential. So that means that it's the current zoning district boundary, and keep in mind that only part of the lot's zoned R10 and part of it's MR1, but the current zoning district is MR10, which is currently out of compliance with the comprehensive plan designation. As noted in the staff report, Complan Policy 4.Q.1 basically does require a zoning to be consistent with the associated comprehensive plan designation. And, of course, as mentioned in the staff report, Baker versus the City of Milwaukee was brought up just to highlight that, you know, the zoning district has to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. The MR1 zoning district, the MR1 plan designation, only has one associated zoning district with it, and that's MR1. So you won't have multiple zoning districts to choose from through that designation. So the zone change request would make it compliant with the comprehensive plan designation of medium density residential. And so that's recommended to occur. Again, this is the image just to show the yellow area that I think I can highlight with my cursor here is the plan designation. That's all you see here, MDR, medium density residential. So although some of the site is zoned R10, you do have this whole area being designated on the comprehensive plan MR1. I'm sorry, medium density residential. This is just kind of trying to illustrate what the zone change will look like in the current zoning configuration. It basically, the yellow area highlighted is the portion that's R10 that will need to be rezoned to, or that's proposed to be rezoned rather to R10 to MR1. And then, of course, as mentioned before, you have this kind of easterly third of the property already zoned MR1. So you have kind of a split zoning already. So that is the zoning configuration currently as shown on the zoning map. And then just some partition highlights. Again, this is a 3-lot partition. And again, no minimum lot size in the MR1 zoning district. The dimensional standards Anthony can talk to, can briefly touch on, I think, later. The 8 units are allowed on the site, given the density calculations prepared in the staff report, and those are being distributed on the lots as parcel, I think 1 and 3 having triplexes, and the middle parcel being a duplex. And this rule base, it kind of standard, the applicant's proposing a 24-foot wide, basically access easement to serve the duplexes and triplexes, which is sufficient and complies with the ZDO and roadway standards. They're putting a sidewalk that'll basically reach Vineyard, which is the public road right away, and then this private road easement being, you know, also, you know, basically just a paved surface with a sidewalk. The frontage improvements will be constructed. The applicant's proposing to construct frontage improvements on Vineyard to the standard cross section. Their plan has sufficiently demonstrated that they can do that. They can meet that cross-section standard. So it's recommended, of course, that they comply with those standards. And then finally, again, just duplexes and triplexes are permissible per Z0328-21D, which Anthony was the staff person that reviewed that. But it just requires design review. The applicant has done that. They've submitted design review, and kind of lastly, the applicant has requested per ZDO section 1307 to have them all reviewed concurrently, which is also permissible in section 1307, and so that's why they're all being reviewed kind of together as one step. And then just quickly. That's just an overview. I can bring this up, too, if anyone wants to see the later down the road, the configuration. But here again, you can see Parcel 3 and Parcel 1 having room for duplexes, Parcel 2 being – I'm sorry, for triplexes. Yeah, and they're called – actually, I should note for the record, they're not called that in our ZDO. They're called 3-family dwellings and 2-family dwellings. They're commonly referred to as duplexes and triplexes, duplexes for 2-family dwelling, and triplexes for 3-family dwelling. Just for the purposes of this, they're interchangeable. And then basically you have, you know, your typical, this is kind of the utility plan. You have an infiltrator here. You're going to have sufficient width for access. You have parking stalls that are sufficient. And you have an easement here on the west side of the lot, which will serve, which is reserved for Oak Lodge. So finally, the staff recommends approval of the zone change from R10 to MR1. We recommend approval of the partition as designed, and recommend approval of the design review application as well. So that would be the end of my presentation. If it's appropriate, Mr. Cox, could we have Anthony do just a quick overview of the design review portion?
Of course. Let's proceed.
Great, thanks. Ben, would you mind, as I go through this, putting up the site plan?
This one?
Yep, that's great. Thanks so much. So, good morning, everyone. I'm Anthony Reeder, design review planner here at the county. I'm going to just give a brief overview of my findings related to the design review portion of this. Before I get started, I guess I will say, overall, my recommendation is for approval with a few conditions. I'll talk about the conditions at the very end. So the land use itself has been mentioned. Two and three family dwellings are allowed in the zone, subject to design review. I guess I should also take a half step back and say that my review was premised on the idea that the zone change would be successful. So I'm reviewing the entire site under the MR1 zoning criteria, not the R10. Section 1002 addresses the protection of natural features. Though there are some plants present on the site, there aren't any significant listed or identified significant natural features to protect on the site. No significant mature vegetation, steep slopes, or water features. So there were no substantive findings beyond the fact that there was limited things to protect on the site. 1005 talks about site and building design. All of the required site features by way of circulation and pedestrian access are shown in the applicant's site plan. From a site and building design standpoint, I guess as a minor point of personal privilege, I think it's actually a quite well-designed site. I really appreciated how two different styles of unit were proposed for the site, kind of helped preventing the look of a spaceship kind of plopping down on either side of the existing single-family house. So hats off to whoever selected the architecture designed it from me. Appreciate that. Because although I did kind of in my staff recommendation review and take a look at the buildings themselves, as a matter of principle or a matter of fact, because it is housing in the urban area, many of our discretionary standards can't really be applied. If you clear and objective standards only as relates to housing. So although I address some of the building and facade design elements, they are not necessarily, they could not be conditioned against. Not that I would have needed to, anyways. Lighting on site is appropriate. We do have a requirement for something called additional requirements, typically sustainability-related features. That requirement is more than met by the fact that the site is significantly in excess of the minimum landscape requirement, so that requirement is met. Applicants submitted materials demonstrated compliance with 1006, which is our section on utility, streetlights, water supply, and the like. And that is the section which essentially says requires the that developers or applicants abide by the requirements of the local utility provider, even though they sit outside of the zoning code. 1007 roads and connectivity is largely reviewed by our engineering division. I'll defer to their professional expertise as to how the site interacts with the public road system. As I mentioned, the 1009, the landscaping section, was more than adequately met by way of composition, landscape area, and the design, composition of the landscape, as well as the amount of landscaping proposed for the site. No signs, to the best of my understanding, are being proposed for the site beyond required addressing. Should any signs be proposed, they'd have to come through either under a separate permit and approval. As Ben touched on, the gross site area, when divided by our district land area, allows the applicant to propose 8 units. With the 2 triplexes and the 1 duplex, they are achieving those 8 units of density on the site. For parking and loading, this is an area where I have to mea culpa a little bit. There was a requirement for bicycle parking that I overlooked in my initial staff recommendation. So bicycle parking will be required at the rate of parking that would be required of a multifamily, and that is because 1015.01 requires the most similar land uses rate of parking to be applied. The most similar land use in our bike parking table is multifamily residential, which requires 0.05 bike parking spaces per dwelling unit. So there are a number of different approaches the applicant could take to satisfy this, whether it's individual hang racks in a unit or in a garage, or the provision of up to four or more kind of standard, you know, U-shaped bike block racks in the site plan. And I've included a proposed condition of approval to that effect. The trash collection, finally, trash collection is kind of regulated by Section 10.1. Because these are individual units, the applicant is proposing individual trash collection for each of them, and that meets with our standards. And so with that, say that again, I'm recommending approval of the design review portion of this, subject to the conditions that the site be developed kind of as shown in the submitted documentation, with the additional condition for the inclusion of bicycle parking in order to satisfy 10.15. If there's any questions on that, happy to take them.
Any questions from the applicant about the condition of approval about the bike racks? Okay. Does that conclude the county's presentation?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. I'd like to provide an opportunity for the applicant to present information that the applicant wants me to consider here, or just affirm that the county's presentation adequately states the applicant's intention here and proposal, and that the applicant concurs with the proposed conditions of approval. Just let me know.
Thank you. The answer is yes on both counts. So we would like to say a few things, but generally we approve of the staff's position and thank them for their hard work and concur with their conclusions. So
thank you, sir.
Just to give a quick intro, my name is Ben Schoenberger. I'm a land use planner with Winterbrook Planning, prepared the application with our team. But our team is here and available for any clarifications or questions. Ben Hensel's the owner of the property. Chris Munson is a civil engineer on the project, and Mike Moore is our development and construction expert on the project. So we're around, but I think I'll just do a quick presentation and leave it at that unless you have questions for us. So briefly, came to this site, and it's clearly a good site and appropriate for housing and infill development specifically. Seems like an excellent opportunity and an excellent case for what's becoming called the missing middle, you know, missing middle housing. So not the single family house on a single lot at one extreme or dense multi-story apartment buildings at the other, but there's a lot of housing types in between. And that's what we were hoping to achieve here. And I think we've done so with this site design. But the challenges of this site were several, and those are that there's only one unit currently on the site, and it's dead center of the lot that is fairly large. That's the middle of a large lot. The lot's about 6/10 of an acre. And also, as we've identified, the zoning isn't right. It's a split-zoned site where about the eastern third of it is the zoning we want, and the western third of it is a large lot single family zone that's not consistent with the comprehensive plan. So that's where I come into play. We got to fix these things. And those fixes are kind of all being dealt with here simultaneously, but also kind of sequential in that first let's get the zoning right and get the whole site zoned consistent with the comp plan to a medium density residential zone. Then let's partition the large lot into three pieces, each of which can accommodate one of these new missing middle housing types. And then three, let's go through a design review process to get those housing types approved. So that's kind of what the package of what this application and this hearing deals with. So again, we agree with the conclusions of the staff report that the proposal meets all the relevant standards and criteria. And we also think it's a good design that we're happy with and does a lot to satisfy both the immediate requirements of the code and just generally contributes to the county with additional housing stock and attractive appearance and increased tax base and all the things that the comp plan sets out as what we want here in Clackamas County. So with that, I won't belabor the point of the details that I think are well covered in the written materials, and ask for your approval.
Right. Did the county have anything further to add before we start talking about concluding the hearing?
I don't.
Okay. And are there any requests to keep the record open? None? Okay.
No, we talked about that beforehand, and normally I would powwow with my team, but since nothing has come up and there's no new information that's come in, we would ask you to note the minor corrections that came in this morning that are all things that we've been discussing with Ben and Anthony yesterday and are completely fine with us. So if that's all folded in, we have no additional need for time. So we can waive our rights to extend and open the record.
I did receive the minor changes. I didn't see anything controversial there. I did note there was only one public comment submitted, and it really concerned some opposition to it. But I find that the proposed zoning change is consistent with the comprehensive plan designation, that it is the correct zoning, actually correct zoning for the property, and I approve of that change. I've reviewed the partition that was proposed by the applicant and don't find anything controversial there, and I approve the partition as well, and also with the recommendation of the county. And further, I've reviewed and received the additional information at the hearing concerning also the design plan and approve that as well. I'll issue a written order consistent with this discussion and the hearing today. And with that, I'll close the record of the hearing. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye, y'all.
Have a good day.